The following six articles are the articles that have been posted at the iswasandwillbe.com website in the month of February 2014. Our first FAQ is entitled, How Do We Possess the Land the Lord Has Given Us? Greetings, Mike, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a long time since I emailed, but I am back now. Can you please explain the spiritual significance of Deuteronomy chapters 12 and 13? Exactly what is God trying to say to me? I know some time ago, in my time of prayer, I sensed that the Lord was saying it is my season of territory expansion. But I know that He has to expand my spiritual territory first before my physical territory, so that I can be able to handle the weight of the physical territory. And now the Lord led me to this scripture in my time of prayer recently. Hope to hear from you soon. Regards, signed, N. Hi, N. It's good to hear from you again. It is especially good to be able to answer this question for you. You ask, can you please explain the spiritual significance of Deuteronomy chapter 12 and 13? Exactly what is God trying to say to me? What the Lord is telling us in Deuteronomy 12 and 13 is to possess the land. And in doing so, we are to make no alliances with the inhabitants of the land, but rather destroy everything that breathes within the land. Deuteronomy 20 verse 16, but of the cities of these people which the Lord your God does give you for an inheritance, you shall save alive nothing that breathes. Numbers 33:53, and you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. Deuteronomy 1 verse 8, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Deuteronomy 1:21, behold, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has said unto you. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And Deuteronomy 2:24, rise you up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it, and contend with him in battle. Contend with him in battle, because I have given him into your hand. The land is nothing physical. The things that breathe are not physical things. And the battle in which we are contending is not against flesh and blood, as it was in the types and shadows of Deuteronomy 12 and 13 and 20. Deuteronomy 12 verses 1 through 4. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord God of your fathers gives you to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree, and you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And you shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God means that we are to learn not the way of the heathen, and we are not to follow after the ways of the heathen among whom we live, because we are now contending with spiritual wickedness in the heavens of our hearts and minds, even though what is in our heart is always manifested in our way of life. So we were told in Jeremiah 10 verse 2, thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. And Ephesians 6 verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The word places is not in the Greek in Ephesians 6:12, and the word high is translated from the Greek word epuranios, which appears often, but in this verse, translated simply as heaven, heavenly, or celestial. This word appears 20 times in the New Testament Greek. This one verse is the only time it is translated as high places. It should simply read in the heavens of our hearts and minds. A very great part of the rulers of darkness of this world are the very ways of the heathen, which we have learned and have adopted as our own in all of the holidays of the Western societies. We tell our children lies in the name of Christ during Christmas and Easter, and we dress them up as little devils at Halloween and tell ourselves that we are not learning the ways of the heathen, and we are not doing so unto the Lord our God. One of the main reasons given in Scripture for our Lord's condemnation by the church of his day is the fact that he esteemed every day alike. And in the process of establishing his new covenant, his new testament, he rejected the very days he himself had given to Israel in the form of the weekly Sabbath and the annual holy days of the Jews. Matthew 12, verses 1 through 8. At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and began to pluck the ears of the corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, your disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was a-hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what that means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. And John 5, verse 18, Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. The esteeming of one day above another, of Romans 14, 9, is called bondage to weak and beggarly elements in these verses in Galatians 4, verses 9 through 11. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. In Colossians 2, verse 8, Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after, i.e. the example of, Christ. To this day, anyone who attempts to follow in Christ's steps will be ostracized and cast out of the synagogues of this world for the quote-unquote sin of esteeming every day alike, in a society which is in bondage to the observance of pagan days, months, times, and years. Job 23:11, My foot has held his steps, his ways have I kept and not declined. Psalms 37:31, The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Psalms 85:13, Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. 1 Peter 2:21, For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. observing the customs of the heathen around them was Israel's most addictive sin, which constantly came between them and their God, just as it does to this very day. 1 Kings 12:32, and Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places, which he had made. This is the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which are so often referenced in the Old Testament. 1 Kings 16:26, for he walked in all the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. 1 Kings 16:31, and it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and he took to wife Jezebel the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. 1 Kings 21:22, and will make your house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith you have provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And 1 Kings 22:52, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. This is what Israel wanted, and that is what God's people want to this very day. But God says it is an abomination to him. Do we really believe that we can do the exact same thing and not make Israel to sin and provoke the Lord to anger? Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 through 31. When the Lord your God shall cut off the nations from before you, whither you go to possess them, and you shall succeed them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself, that you be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before you, and that you inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burned in the fire to their gods. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God, and yet that is exactly what Orthodox Christianity has done and is doing to this very day. They have adopted the ways of the heathen and claim they are doing so unto the Lord their God. Chapter 13 continues that same theme, but adding to that theme the revelation that God himself will give false prophets the power to deceive us, if we do not have a love of his word, which supersedes our love of the ways of the heathen. God himself will give false prophets the ability to foretell the future, but then also tell us not to walk in the customs of the heathen, for no other reason than to show us just how weak we are. Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 5. If there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proves you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And the prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust you out of the way which the Lord your God commanded you to walk in. So shall you put the evil away from the midst of you. In Christ we are to love our neighbors, and turn to him the other cheek also. Nevertheless, this is how we are now to deal with such prophets who would have us to forsake our own Lord in exchange for avoiding persecution in a heathen society which still uses the name Christian. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he shall not hear you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen man and a publican. Paul reiterates the same process in Titus 3, verses 10 and 11. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sins, being condemned of himself. We who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, who eat herbs and esteem one day above another. We all are in the process of living our lives after the traditions of men when we first hear about the true shepherd. The Lord receives us while we were yet sinners, but he commands us to come out of her, my people, that you partake not of her sins. Revelation 18:4. And we're told to receive them that are weak in the faith, but in the very same verse we're told that we that are strong are not to permit them that are weak in the faith to argue about discernments. The King James says not to doubtful disputations, but that is not what the Greek says. Romans 14 verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations, or not to arguing about discernments. So we let those who are still observing days continue to do so, as long as they're not attempting to argue that following the traditions of men is the strong meat of the word. If that were so, then Christ most certainly would not have left us the pattern of breaking the weekly Sabbath of Matthew 12, verses 1 through 8, and John 5, verse 18. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. I hope that I have given you a better understanding of how we are called to possess the land which the Lord has given us. We do so by following his example and walking in his footsteps. Your brother in Christ, Mike. Our second article, posted in the month of February, is entitled, Who is being judged at this time, the beast within or Satan? Mike, is the prince of this world who is being judged the beast within or Satan, of John 16:11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged? Thanks, signed Jay. Hi Jay, thank you for your question. Do you want to know who is being judged at this time, the beast within or Satan? When we understand that those who persecute us are actually guilty of persecuting Christ, and that when we persecute Christ, we are not rejecting him but his Father, then I think you will have the answer to your question. John 15:23, he that hates me hates my Father. In the same way, when we're persecuted for Christ's sake, those persecuting us are not just persecuting us, they are also persecuting Christ. Matthew 25:40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Acts 22, verses 7 and 8, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecute you me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. I hope all of these verses help you to see that when the prince of this world is being judged within us, Satan himself is falling from our heavens as lightning, and is being judged within his children, who we all first are. Luke 10, verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. John 16:11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Ephesians 2:2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We are all first the seed of the serpent, before we become the seed of the woman, Jerusalem above, espoused to one husband, Christ. John 9, verses 39 through 41, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, i.e. of their father the devil, heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore your sin remains. John 8, verses 43 and 44. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. So both are being judged, as Satan is being cast out of us, just as both Christ and his Father are being rejected when we are rejected by this world. Your rejected brother in the Christ, Mike. This next FAQ is entitled, Will Babes in Christ Be in the First Resurrection? Dear Mike, I hope this letter finds you well. I was speaking to a sister on the weekend, and I was telling her about a nutritional supplement I just started. I made a joke that I won't tell her what's in it yet, just in case it kills me. Then I said, I sure hope I don't die today, because then I won't be in the first resurrection. And she said, of course you will be, as long as you endure unto the end. I said, based on my understanding, I am unskilled in the word. And she said, that you believe that you will be saved by works, and that does not sound right. She said, I will just end up being worried about my future. I want to be in the first resurrection, but much maturation needs to take place before that can happen. I'm also not worried about it, but I base my understanding on this article called New Converts in the First Resurrection. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I thought I was just recognizing the fact that I discovered these truths 4 months ago. Sincerely, signed, M. Hi, M. Thank you for your question. Your assessment of your situation is in complete accord with the scriptures. That email you reference gives the scriptures of 1 Corinthians 3 verses 1 through 4 and Hebrews 5, 1. 1 Corinthians 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? And Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Here is one more verse that adds great weight to the doctrine that carnal babes will not be in that blessed and holy first resurrection. In Matthew 24, verse 19. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. The words, to them that give suck, are all translated from one Greek word, G2337, and would better be translated with the single English word, suckling. The ACV or conservative version, is a much better translation of this particular verse than is the KJV. And here is that ACV version of Matthew 24:19. And woe to those who have in the womb, and to those who suckle in those days. Those who are in the womb and suckle in those days are spiritually the same as carnal babes in Christ, who are not skillful in the word of righteousness, and certainly are not overcomers who have been saved yet so as by fire. So simply believing in Christ does not qualify us for rulership. We are specifically told that we must also be overcomers, saved by fire, and we must first fulfill the seven plagues of the seven angels. Our opinions of who will and who will not be in that blessed and holy first resurrection are of no consequence. But these scriptures are the opinion of our Lord, and his opinion is of great consequence. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. No babe in Christ has endured any fire, and indeed is not capable of doing so until he has passed being a suckling. Revelation 2, verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Scripture says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Babes in Christ are not yet capable of being overcomers. They must get past those milk doctrines and go on unto perfection. Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2. Revelation 15, verses 7 and 8. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. There it is. No man is able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels are fulfilled in that man's life. That obviously excludes carnal babes in Christ and sucklings who are still on the milk of the word. I hope this clears this up for you. You can be well aware of all of the scriptures and not be the least bit involved in thinking that you are saved by your works. Your brother in Christ, Mike. This next article is the FAQ referenced in the article we just read entitled, Will Babes in Christ Be in the First Resurrection? And this one was posted in August of 2011 under the subtitle Resurrection in the FAQ section on the As Was and Will Be site. And it is entitled, Will a Person Who Knows the Milk Doctrines Be in the First Resurrection? Hi Mike, another quick question if you don't mind. If a man or woman is about 80 years of age when they die, and about 6 months before they die, they become aware of the milk doctrines of Jesus Christ. Does this mean they will be in the first resurrection? I know you might not be able to answer this because it's up to God, but I just wanted your opinion. Because although they have endured to the end with life itself, would they be qualified to bring the rest of humanity to Christ through the lake of fire, only knowing what they have known for the 6 months? Get back to me if you can, because I understand you're a busy man, and thanks in advance. Signed, S. Hi again, S. You ask if an 80-year-old person can learn the milk doctrines and be qualified to rule with Christ during the millennium. The answer to that question, as you pose it, is absolutely not. All who use milk are unskillful in the word of righteousness. Hebrews 5, verses 13 and 14. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What is the one thing we know about babes in Christ? It was babes in Christ who wanted to kill him, simply because even though they believed on him, they were yet carnal. John 8, verses 31 through 33 and 37. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How say you, you shall be made free? I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. Those who will be found worthy to be in that first resurrection will have had their senses exercised to know good and evil. They will not be carnal babes in Christ who are still on milk doctrines and cannot yet receive strong meat. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 4, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? You are in my prayers. I pray God will grant you to understand that God loves you and will redeem you and his entire creation. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 through 26. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Your brother who is praying for you, Mike. Our next article, posted in the month of February 2014, is entitled The Positive and Negative Sides of Being a Witness. Dear Mike, it was news to me that the Greek word for witness is martus, from which we get the English word martyr. Thank you so much for sharing this. The positive and negative application of the word witness boils down to being either a true witness or a false witness. Proverbs 14, verse 5, A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Proverbs 14, 25, A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. Positive application. True witness. To bear testimony of life. G 3140. Martyriol. Which is from G 3144. To be a witness, that is to testify. Charge. Give. Bear record. A good report. Be well reported of. Give testimony, obtain, give, bear, be witness, as in Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, G 3144, the beginning of the creation of God. The willingness to remain a faithful witness unto death is the deepest application of this Greek word. Revelation 2, verse 13. I know your works, and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is, and you hold fast to my name, and have not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, G 3144, who was slain among you where Satan dwells. And thus, G 3144, martus, total occurrences in the KJV is 34, used 21 times as witnesses, 8 times as witness, twice as martyr. The negative application or false witness or to bear testimony of lies, G5579, pseudo martyrial, from G5575, to be an untrue testifier, that is, offer falsehood in evidence, to be a false witness. And G5575, pseudo-martyr, from G5571, and a kindred form of G3144, a spurious witness, that is, bearer of untrue testimony, a false witness. Proverbs 25:18, a man that bears false witness against his neighbor is a maul, and a sword, and a sharp arrow. Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Another quality of the true witness is unity and agreement, bearing witness to the one truth. Deuteronomy 4:26. I call heaven and earth to witness, H5749, against you this day, and you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. Looking at the Hebrew definition of witness, one can see the basis of the one mind of true Christian witness. This word used in Deuteronomy 4:26, H5749, ood, a primitive root, to duplicate or repeat, by implication to protest, testify, as by reiteration, intensely to encompass, restore, as a sort of reduplication, admonish, charge, earnestly lift up, protest, call or take, to record, relieve, rob, solemnly, stand upright, testify, give warning, bear, call, give, take, to witness. In contrast to the disunity and disagreement among false witnesses, Mark 14:56, for many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And part of that source was from a Revelation study, Laodicea Part 1, and it's signed, Your Sister in Christ, M. Thank you, M. I appreciate how thoroughly you have treated this word. As new as this thought is to you, it will be an equal blessing to any others who are sent by our Lord to read about this word. I am copying this to Sandy to post. Thank you so much. Signed, Mike. This next FAQ is entitled, What Happens to the Consciousness When One Dies? Hi, Mike. I just recently came across your website, and I've been so blessed thus far. I must thank God for empowering you to do the great work He is doing through you. Of the many truths your website has exposed me to, the one that I'm still chewing on is implication of the truth about hell. I absolutely agree with you that our loving Father would not subject any of His creation to eternal damnation, as many of us were taught. However, in the revelation of this truth, I have just one question, but several within that one, that I could not find answers to, and I pray God would use you once more to answer them. A. What happens when someone dies? B. What happens to their consciousness? C. Since we that have actually given our lives to Christ die in faith of the promise, am I correct to think that the likes of Paul and others that died believing in Jesus would be part of the first resurrection? Using the seen to understand the unseen, is the answer to this series of questions, death for a believer would be just like falling asleep and waking up to Christ. Just that this time we would awake in a spiritual body. Is that what the Apostle Paul was revealing in 1 Corinthians 15:51-52? Thanks. I look forward to hearing from you. God bless you. Keep on the good work. And I pray that Jesus Christ would continue giving you the grace, wisdom, and revelation to help those like us who are still young in this exciting walk with Him. Signed, E. Hi, E. Thank you for your question. You ask, 1. A. What happens when someone dies? B. What happens to their consciousness? C. Since we that have actually given our lives to Christ die in faith of the promise, am I correct to think that the likes of Paul and others that died believing in Jesus would be part of the first resurrection. Using the seen to understand the unseen is the answer to this series of questions. Death for a believer would be just like falling asleep and waking up to Christ, just that this time we would awake to a spiritual body. Is that what Apostle Paul was revealing in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52? I will answer your questions in the order you ask them. What happens when someone dies? The answer is as you surmise. When any believer dies, it is just like falling asleep and waking up in Christ, just that this time we awaken in a spiritual body. You are exactly right. The fact is that this is the case for all who die and not just believers. Adam himself is completely unaware that 6,000 years have passed since he was created. He has been lying unconscious in the dust of the earth all this time. God, however, has us all hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3, verses 2 and 3. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. These verses are addressed to those who know Christ now, but they apply to all men because, 2 Samuel 14:14, for we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither does God respect any person, yet does he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. John 3, verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Timothy 2:3-4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. For the benefit of all who think that what God wills for all men is but a wistful longing, he has given us to know Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. 1 Timothy 4:9-11, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. There are great advantages to be raised up in the first resurrection, advantages like these, Revelation 20:6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The second death is the lake of fire, Revelation 20:12-14, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This, on the other hand, is what happens to those who are resurrected before the 1,000 years begins. Revelation 20:4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Thrones are given to those who are resurrected at the beginning of the 1,000 years, and they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. This, along with the judgment we are now the first to endure, is what Paul refers to in this verse of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you yet worthy to judge the smallest matters? This verse is dealing with the internal affairs of those who are within the fellowship of the church, which is his body, of Colossians 1:24. We are not at this time to be judging them that are without. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 12 and 13. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Not one person in 1,000 believes that we are to judge them that are within. Nevertheless, the fact is that all things come alike to all, and there is but one event to all. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 2. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that swears as he that fears an oath. That one event is that all men will experience fiery trials and be judged for how they have lived their lives. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day, i.e. of judgment, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Judgment is chastening. It is for no other purpose. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Hebrews 12, 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. The only difference between those who are being judged in this life and are either changed in a moment or are resurrected at the beginning of 1,000 years and those who are raised in the great white throne judgment, which is also called the lake of fire, is a matter of timing. Judgment is what is taking place in both resurrections. But those who are first resurrected are the first to be judged by the very same symbolic fire. Every man's work will be judged by fire, but God's elect, his first fruits, are being judged in this life and will be resurrected before 1,000 years begin. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. 1 Peter 4, 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. For if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the work of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. In Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Those who are in the first resurrection are those upon whom God's scourging fiery judgments rest in this age. Those who are in the second resurrection are not being judged in this age, and will therefore be raised up in the second resurrection, and will at that time endure the fiery judgments of the great white throne judgment at the second death. I hope all these verses of Scripture have served to answer your questions: what happens when someone dies, and what happens to their consciousness. The answer is that when a person dies, his spirit returns to God. Not as a personality, rather it's like the turning off of a light bulb. When the electricity is withdrawn, the light dies. And that light, in Scripture, is the understanding and consciousness of us all. Ephesians 1:18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." You continue, "Am I correct to think that the likes of Paul and others that died believing in Jesus would be part of that first resurrection?" Yes, that is exactly what will happen to all who have died in Christ. Your brother in Christ, Mike. And now the last FAQ article that was posted in February 2014 at the iswasandwillbe.com site is entitled, "Does Satan Ever Tell the Truth?" Mike, I thank God that he has introduced us, even if it has just been over the internet. I don't know how I could be of any benefit to you, but you sure have been to me through reading the articles and asking you a couple of questions. One more question for you. Scripture tells us that the devil was a liar from the beginning. So in light of Daniel 4:17-32, was he lying when he told Jesus, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment in time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Thanks, signed M." Hi, M. Thank you for your kind words of encouragement, and thank you for your question. You say, Scripture tells us that the devil was a liar from the beginning. So in light of Daniel 4:17-32, was he lying when he told Jesus, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment in time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." Here are the verses that you mentioned in Daniel 4:17. "The sentence is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever he wills, and sets up over it the lowest of men." Daniel 4:25, "That you shall be driven from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass as oxen, and shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever he will." Verse 32, "And you shall be driven from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever he will." And verse 34, "And at the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation." These verses all tell us that it is God who, in the final analysis, is ruling in the kingdom of men, and is placing over those kingdoms the basest of men. I added verse 34 to emphasize that God's dominion is from generation to generation and has never stopped to this very day. Does that make Satan's claim untrue? Luke 4 verses 5 through 7. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours. No, in the fact that Daniel 4 tells us that God rules in the kingdoms of men does not contradict the fact that God has made Satan to be the God of this world, or Satan's claim to that title when tempting our Lord. If there were no truth in Satan's words, All this power will I give you and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me and to whomsoever I give it. If there was no truth to that, then there would have been no real temptation at all, because Christ would have known it to be a lie. But Christ knew that his Father had given Satan to be the God of this world, and that he uses Satan to install the basest of men into positions of leadership and power in this world. Just as we are told that Joseph was a ruler of Egypt and had all the power of Pharaoh except in the throne, so it is with Satan in this age, and with Christ in the ages to come, when he and his Christ will be rulers over the kingdoms of this world. Genesis 41 verses 39 and 40. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God has showed you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according unto your word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. The Pharaoh turned his kingdom over to Joseph and told him, According unto your word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. Pharaoh did not relinquish ultimate authority, but he did use Joseph to do everything for him. That is exactly what God has done with this present evil world. Galatians 1 verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. As the first two chapters of Job graphically demonstrate, Satan is God's instrument for making the present world an evil world. So Satan was not lying when he said, For all the kingdoms of the world, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Job chapters 1 and 2 demonstrate in a very graphic way that Satan's ideas are really from the Lord, just as our own ideas are. And he does them as Joseph's brothers, and we do. We all think the preparations of our hearts are our own ideas, but this is the actual truth of how God rules in the kingdoms of men. Genesis 45, verses 4 through 8. And Joseph said unto his brother, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Proverbs 16 verse 1, The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 16 verse 4, The Lord has made all things for himself. i.e. including Satan, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. You pointed out that Christ tells us that Satan was a liar from the beginning, and that is true, of course. But does that mean that Satan's every word is a lie? No, not at all. An inveterate liar is not all that effective in deceiving the masses. A person who tells the truth much of the time and then inserts a liar here and there is much more effective for that purpose. Notice that God himself tells us that Satan told Adam and Eve the truth when Satan told them that they would be as gods, knowing good and evil. Genesis 3, verses 3, 5, and 22. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. I hope this helps you to see that being a liar from the beginning does not mean that Satan cannot mix truth with his lies, and that when he told Adam and Eve that they would be as gods, knowing good and evil, he was telling the truth. And when he told Christ, All this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it, he was telling the truth. Luke 4, verse 6. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. Yet God has retained the power of the throne, even as he has delivered the kingdoms of this present evil world over to that old serpent, the devil, and Satan, who is also called the great red dragon. Here is the extent of Satan's dominion which God has given him. Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Your brother in Christ, Mike.